about the only sign that you're standing on a street corner in Brooklyn, New York, that marks the Hillary Clinton for President headquarters, is the indecipherable sign of a protester who looks a little bit like Michael Moore, and a few paparazzi trying to nab a shot of the beleaguered Clinton aide Huma Abedin, unhappily in the news right now. But go upstairs, and the ringing phones tell you this is a nerve center.
The headquarters is two different floors. We are on the 11th floor right now, and there's also a lower level. But this floor kind of encompasses IT, analytics, our legal compliance. So everybody up here on this level is it's a little quieter. The design team, everybody's like hard at work behind a screen.
Early voting has started, and the lease on the two floors of One Pierpont Plaza, signed back in April 2015, has only a few more days to go. More than 500 campaign workers are here. They're young, mostly in their 20s, in open spaces, laptops everywhere, colorful Hillary graphics. There's not a hint of Trump Tower glitter. Anyway, our many requests to go backstage at Trump Tower have so far gone unanswered.
You don't see any gold here.
Gold. No, there's no 9-foot portraits either. Imagine that.
That's our tour guide, Amanda Finney, a digital correspondence assistant for the campaign.
You know, I think that we're really embodying the whole grassroots campaigning. We're trying to spice it up and be like Google on a good day with the bean bags and, you know, all of the colors. We're trying to be fun, and I think there's a lot of energy and young people here at headquarters, and I think that you see that when you walk around.
Amanda's being shadowed, as she gives us a tour, by a silent minder from the all-powerful Clinton communications team, making sure we don't wander or talk to the wrong person, like the young lawyers in the legal compliance office we say hello to.
No.
Just unfortunately, we didn't get approval from everyone ahead of time.
Okay. So
Amanda, she says, is all about message, reaching every voter she can reach between now and November 8th.
You know, if you're on the phone talking to a single mom who's a veteran in North Carolina, like, how can we portray her message to someone in California, to someone in Arizona? Like, why does this mom in North Carolina matter to moms across the country? I think that taking those single people, single individuals, and making it a national story, and how HRC, how Secretary Clinton is going to, like, shape all of those lives, I think that's the power behind HQ.
We showed up on Tuesday, a week out from Election Day, but nobody calls it that here.
Obviously, with 7 days left until E-Day, people have been going to battleground states to knock on doors and do some canvassing and making phone calls and having that like one-on-one interaction with voters, because it's go time, you know, crunch time. So
this place could be empty on election night.
Very well could be. Very well could be. I think we're going to try and have lots of hotline lawyers here to be handling any like voting incidents, but most of staff might be, it's unclear, but a lot of staff could be hitting the pavement on E-Day.
On the 10th floor, you're closer to the center of power. For instance, Clinton veteran John Podesta in a hoodie can be seen consulting a computer screen. There's Huma Abedin herself, hard at work across the room, but she gets a little farther away when she sees our microphones. It's the communications team who dictate every movement of HRC, and they roam these halls in their sweatshirt uniforms. Playful tension, you could call it.
These are the sweatshirts, guys, I was talking about. Can I just hold up one?
Yeah, of course.
So everybody has their little, like, witty, thank you. So policy's right here. The policy team wonks for the win. We have speech writing in the back. We have the best words is kind of their, like, tagline. Surrogates, turning squad goals into squad realities. Here's our communications team. Their tagline is sources close to the campaign.
The food source closest to the campaign appears to be pizza.
That's 12 pizza boxes, Amanda.
I outdid myself, you know? We had a pizza party yesterday.
Pizza to feed all the hungry interns who are crowded at tables not far from oversized futons that look as though they could accommodate a small university.
My department specifically has 14 part-time and full-time interns. Hi, guys. They're working and eating, you know? Multitasking.
Raise your hand if you slept here overnight.
Not yet.
It's coming soon.
There's work. That's all there is. There's work for 7 more days.
That's Adisu Demisi, National Voter Outreach and Mobilization Director for the Clinton campaign. He sounds young, but he's really a veteran. What's it like to be in the bottom of the ninth in a tight race in the World Series of politics?
Campaigns are a bunker mentality. I've been here for 15 years somehow doing campaigns, and this is one of the best environments I've been in. There have been some downs, no doubt about it, but there's going to be a big up coming here on November 8th.
Some honest, tough campaign tech talk. The young men and women monitoring the pulse of a nation about to decide the most important election of their lives. On the 10th floor of a distinctly unglitzy-looking tower in Brooklyn, New York, you're listening to the hum of a 21st century political machine. We got a special tour of a place where voter numbers and demographics become marching orders, questions about turnout become voter surveys, opposition commercials and their nasty accusations send all the fact checkers into action, and news headlines become policy statements. Welcome to Hillary for President HQ.
My name is Maya Harris, Senior Policy Advisor, Hillary for America. I will say it has gone to a slower pace than at the earlier part of the campaign, but we are still now and again releasing new policy. And, you know, for example, one of the policy issues that we ended up just releasing a policy agenda on was around mental health. When she started the campaign, and in Iowa and New Hampshire, and she heard a lot from people around the country about families that were struggling with, mental health and with addiction. So as a result of that, we ended up actually diving in, and she wanted to make those priority issues for her campaign. They're issues that don't necessarily always make it to the top of the, you know, policy agenda in a presidential campaign, but they are ones that she thought was important.
No one can doubt the importance of data analytics in this 24/7 fact factory.
Ilan Kriegel, Chief Analytics Officer.
For Ilan Kriegel and his team of 60, this election has actually been over with 400,000 times. That's the number of simulations he's been running, testing policy, weather scenarios, anything to know how to move the right voter at the right time in the key zip code.
Once we have that information, we put it out there, and then people are kind of, it's a thought process. You know, what can we do? Is there a technology that we can build that will communicate better that message? So, for instance, we've done a lot of really neat things with our online tools and new tech tools that have just never existed in politics, maybe never existed, period, before. And then from there, okay, well, we have this piece of information, and we're about to give a speech. How do we make sure that whoever that surrogate is giving the speech incorporates that piece of information? Or we're about to run an advertisement on TV. How do we make sure that that advertisement first incorporates that, but also is being delivered to the people who are most interested in whatever that message is? And I think what's really important about what data plays, the role that at least my team plays in this is, you know, what used to happen in politics is you had a TV kind of an audience, you had an organizing, a field audience who you talk to, you had an audience that you might mail to, and so forth. But now, because we were able to kind of bring everything together, so every kind of the left hand knows exactly what the right hand's doing, and they're working in concert.
Ilan Kriegel's fancy futuristic code very quickly becomes other workers' old-fashioned to-do lists.
My name's Adisu Demissi. I'm the National Voter Outreach and Mobilization Director. My job is essentially to turn data into action in the states, and specifically turnout, mobilization of voters. So the kind of data that he'll give me is how we're doing in a given market, or what demographic that we are overperforming or underperforming with, or what it might be. And so it's my job to take that data and then decide what to do with it. The non-data component is kind of what I focus on, which is what are our political allies telling us? What are our volunteers telling us that they're hearing at the doors? And we kind of give that qualitative information back to sync up with the quantitative information.
So you know zip codes.
I definitely know some zip codes. If somebody, gun to my head, I could probably name all 99 counties in Iowa if somebody asked.
Would you say that your opponent's outreach is robust, different? How do you run into it?
Not a lot, to be honest. He definitely has not, and the Republican Party definitely has not invested in real grassroots organizing in the way that our party and our campaign have, not just in this campaign, but for this whole century of campaigns. It is very much core to our strategy, not just because it's how we think we're going to win, but it's how you do politics, right? Neighbor to neighbor, person to person.
Strong sense of team here in this
building. Oh, yeah. Not just in this building, but in the states too. Campaigns are a bunker mentality. I've been here for 15 years somehow doing campaigns, and this is one of the best environments I've been in because we stick together and know that there have been some downs, no doubt about it, but there's going to be a big up coming here on November 8th.
It may be just a wink and a nod or a high five or a fist bump, but How do you folks express solidarity with Huma this week, who's having a difficult time?
Look, Huma is a critical part of our organization. We love her. And she's working, right? Like, we have a job to do. And so all of us, we're not going to get distracted. And that starts with Hillary Clinton. That certainly goes with Huma, her right hand, goes to all of us here. Working is the way we do it. We work to make people's lives better and win the election on November 8th.
So there's no pray for Huma groups around here. We just
there's work. That's all there is.
Five more days of living what's at stake, keeping the reality of what is happening here from getting in the way of a smiling, joyful scene of democracy in action. But make no mistake, this is war. This is history. This is the biggest event in many of these young people's lives.
OC Imyak Paria, and I am the Chief Product Officer.
Product officer. What does
yes.
that mean?
So I manage the product managers and the product designers. We are a sub-team of the tech team here on the campaign. And so I'm the lead of sort of our product strategy, our product approach, and the kind of portfolio items that we want to sort of take on behalf of the campaign in terms of tech tools.
And when you say tech tools,
yes.
What kinds of apps are you talking about?
Oh, huge number. So I think that's one of the things that's compelling about this job is the portfolio of technology solutions that we're looking at and that we explore is quite vast. It's everything from back-end systems for data analysis, measurement, and capture all the way through our website and our blog. So everything in between there, whether it's tools for voters and supporters to learn about her stance on issues, whether it's applications that help our organizers be more efficient and effective, whether it's solutions to help our lawyers protect the vote, the entire gamut of that is the remit of the technology team here on the campaign, and we partner with digital and analytics to make sure that we're delivering great solutions.
It sounds like you have a dream job.
I do.
At a sort of dream moment.
I do.
In the middle of a campaign that's been tremendously emotional and, you know, anxiety-producing for lots and lots of Americans. Mm-hmm. Being a part of a campaign, whether it's now or 50 years ago, involves a real serious emotional commitment.
Mm-hmm.
If Donald Trump is the victor, how devastating will that be for you?
Fairly. As you can see, I'm a woman of color. I also am a recent naturalized citizen of the United States. So on all sort of dimensions, this campaign is very personal. Just kidding.
I can see.
So to work on behalf of the secretary, you know, it's not a joke. It's not a game. It's not a fire drill. This is real. And it impacts people in my communities in a very real way. So, you know, we are a team of people in this building, and I think especially in the states, who are putting it out there every day to try to make sure that the candidate that has real vision for America is the one that's going to succeed. And it's not a game.
You're going to win?
We are. We are going to win. Absolutely. I think that beyond having the most sort of qualified candidate, we have a team who is intent on making sure that Americans understand the stakes and understand how their vote actually is important. And, you know, in light of sort of, you know, historic levels of voter suppression, we are putting systems and teams in place to make sure that people can have their voices heard.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Our tour this week of Hillary Clinton for President National Headquarters in Brooklyn was produced by Oliver Lazarus and recorded by Cambra Moniz Edwards.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.